that if you enjoy these weekends, you should seriously consider going to Transform. Transform, for those who don't know, is our Salt and Light annual camp. Around about 2,000 people there. It's a very good camp. I'm biased because I've been site manager for a number of years at the camp, so I think practically it's run very well. But it's a great time of appreciating that we're not isolated, we're not on our own, we're part of a bigger family of churches and part of a bigger church internationally as well. Some great speakers there. Final speaker, the celebration speaker at the end of the camp this year is Jay John, for those who know Jay John. So we've got those sort of ilk of speakers around as well as some of the Salt and Light guys there. And, you know, I've been involved in the camps now for 16, 17 years, maybe more, I think, probably if I go back in terms. I've been on staff in the camps all the time I've been there. And one of the things that we would say about it is it has tremendously helped our kids in their spiritual walk, because the kids' work, the youth work there is so good. And our kids have made friends, not just in the UK, but internationally at some of these camps who they still connect with now. And I'm talking, you know, my daughter's 35, you know. But just want to encourage you, think about Transforming. I know you can sit there and think of lots of practical reasons why, well, I couldn't go, I couldn't make that work or whatever. They can all be overcome if you really want to get there. And you will be blessed. You'll enjoy it. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not just, you know, don't let camping get in the way. Don't let all those things get in the way. So I think some of the things we talk about this weekend will hopefully make us think as well that some of the things that we let get in the way of us pushing into more of God are insignificant compared to what people elsewhere in the world have to fight to get the richness of what we get. So just a little bit of an encouragement. If you want to know more about Transform, ask me. At some point over the weekend, I'll tell you a bit more. I think Phil and Linda are coming this year. Yeah, and Russell and E, yeah. So, you know, you've already got four booked in. There's plenty of room for more. So if you want to know more, do ask me, or ask Phil and Linda. You know, they'll tell you about it as well. But just a little encouragement there. I note that I gave a couple of personal prophetic words last night, and everybody's moved back a few rows. Okay, I'd just say a little bit as well. Dale and Kevin are here. Kevin is one of the elders at Hexham. He's been in Hexham Community Church far longer than I have. As a builder, he's a great guy, great friend to me, and great support to me in the work there. And Dale is working alongside me in a lot of things that we do. Dale will be running our Daniel Challenge team next year. If you want to know anything about Daniel Challenge, have a word with Dale. He'll tell you all about Daniel Challenge. It's going to be based totally in the north of the northeast next year. So we're going to see a lot more of them. Dale's going to be heading that. They're here this morning because they're going to help facilitate some of the group work that we're going to do. So if you're feeling threatened by the group work, don't feel threatened. If you want to be, you know, be in a group and just observe and listen to what others are saying, that's fine. If you don't want to write on the papers, that's fine. Get out of it what you can get out of it. So don't think, oh, I'm going to make a fool of myself. We started doing some theology nights at HCC. We changed our weekly pattern and introduced once a month where we, instead of our groups, we have a theology night. And we had a bit of a debate as elders as to how we did this, and one of the things I was saying was maybe we need to split the church into sort of two groups, you know, those that want to do almost easy level theology and those that want to do a bit deeper theology. And we had this whole debate going on, and we started the first few sessions and said, all right, we'll do a few together, we'll do some general stuff, and then we'll look at splitting. And So we did the first couple of things. Now, we did a little bit of a survey around them and said, do you want to split into... And our younger Christians were the strongest voice in saying, do not split us. Do not separate us off. We love to be in the groups listening to those who've been around for a little bit, sharing what they know and coming out with things that we would never have thought of. So where I was thinking they're going to struggle because the older Christians are going to start going off into all sorts of things. They were saying, we love listening to. So if you just want to sit and listen to what the others are saying and think, ooh, I wouldn't have thought of that. That's absolutely fine. So I don't want anybody worrying or panicking about group work because it you can do what you want to do in it. As I said last night, want to just think a little bit about church, and that's what we're going to focus on mostly this weekend. So I just want to show you a little video clip just before I start, if that's all right. Hopefully it works.
Churches are full of people. The broken, the lonely, the wanderers, the hopeful, the enthusiastic, the lost, the passionate, and the faithful. For many, this gathering represents the whole of their church experience. They'll listen attentively to a message, they'll sing a few songs, they'll be invited to pray, and then they'll return to their lives. But for some, questions will start bubbling to the surface of their faith. Is this the extent of what Jesus intended for his followers? Who is the church for? Why does the world need the church, and what is the church after all? Well, a church isn't the building where people attend weekly services. It's not a program, a list of rules, or a philosophy. The church isn't a political affiliation, a country club, or a holiday tradition. The church was never intended to be just an assembly of people wearing nice clothes and saying nice things. The church is all the followers of Jesus everywhere. The Greek word for church is the word ekklesia. It's the combination of two words, ek, which means out, and kaleo, meaning called. Thus, the church, the ekklesia, means the called out ones. In other words, the church, the collective body of all the followers of Jesus everywhere, is called out by someone for something, for a purpose. The beginning of the book of Acts has Jesus calling his disciples to a task, bringing something called the gospel, the good news, to all the world. And this gospel would go out to all the outsiders, the forgotten, the abandoned, and the excluded. And they, those outsiders, would see and receive that good news as actually good. When Jesus talked about the gospel, it was always in conjunction with something else, something called the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, God's purposes are made apparent. There's justice and righteousness. There's hope for the poor, for the oppressed. And under the kingdom of God, mercy and forgiveness take precedence over bitterness and resentment. And people previously deemed to be far from God are brought into his family, adopted as his sons and daughters. In the fullness of the kingdom of God, according to Jesus, is not merely expressed as a way for people to escape an evil world when they die. Rather, the good news of God's kingdom is about the announcement of God's eternity, moving into the present world and carrying on into the life to come. The people who belong to Jesus join him in his worldwide restoration project. And the called out ones, the church, are committed to advancing this good news of God's kingdom into the world. Not as a means of helping people avoid the world, but rather to see God's kingdom life being made real here and now. The whole church, with the power of the whole gospel, for the whole world.
My PowerPoint up. That is my message in a nutshell. Yeah, it's a bit like that, really. It is. I was watching it thinking we're just going to have coffee now, because that is the message. I want us to explore that a little bit. You know, this whole thing of the called out ones. What does that mean? And what has it meant over the years? And what should it mean today? And I think, you know, it was inferred and touched on a bit in the talk there that, you know, the church per se over the years, I think, has at times got that called out one very wrong. It's been approached sometimes like he touched on there of We're called out from the world. We're called out from all that evil. We're called out to be separate and stay away and not be affected by the world. And we'll stay in our churches and we'll keep ourselves safe so that hopefully one day, unaffected, untainted, we'll get to heaven. And I don't know about you, I mean, I've been brought up in church since I was born. And whilst we've touched on other things, there's been very much that flavour in me as a young child that's what church was about. It's about get saved and then the next big thing is get to heaven. What about all the bit in the middle? And we've missed some of that. And I think the other thing that's happened sometimes with churches is we've gone from one extreme to the other. We've almost, you know, we've done the staying, we've done the let's just praise God and hope we get to heaven. We've moved at times, I think, into consumerism. You know, and I've watched churches that have reacted to the closed in to the consumerist. Let's give something that really entertains, that gets people in, that really, and then you get the people who sit in the seats and say, wasn't as good as last week. Didn't like that worship leader as good as the other fella. Preacher's not as good as the other fella. And so we've got to people where a point where churches have been full of folk who sit there and just gimme, gimme, gimme. And if you don't give me it in a good enough way, I'm going to either complain or I'm going to go and find another church that might fit my bill. So we've got those two things that have gone on. And then, you know, the other bit of it that should be there, that's been sadly missing, I think, it's coming back more and more, but it has been missing, is the giving. What can I bring? How can I be part of instead of the consumer? And it's those sort of issues that I want to just play with a little bit and explore a little bit in our sessions today. Just want to read a couple of scriptures. Matthew 16, verse 18, is the end of the whole thing with. It's one of my favourite passages in scripture where Jesus has said to Peter particularly, but to the disciples, who do you say, who do you think I am, and who do other people say I am? And Peter says, you're Christ. It's that real great passage. But then there's that famous verse where we get to 18 and it says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, who will build the church? God will build the church. I want to tell you, I don't know about you, but I think I've spent an awful lot of years trying to build the church for God. I've forgotten that, hang on, he said, I'll build. And I've run around like an idiot trying to build church. And I might have done a reasonable job of it, but sometimes it's been me building. And God's, I sometimes sat there, I think I have this picture of God sat there thinking, carry on. You know, in a minute you'll stop and ask me how I want it built. You know, what was my plans? Because God says, I'll do the building. You know, you've got a part to play in this, Neil, but it's me that's building. So it's God that's building his church. But what is church? If we jump then to Acts 2. And if I can find the right verse. Because I had it. There we are. If we go, again, you know the story. I always say, you know, we call it the book of Acts, and it's the Acts of the Apostles. Really, I think it should be entitled the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because Acts is all about what the Holy Spirit does. And if you read it with, I go back to the word I was sharing last night, if we read it through that lens, rather than the acts of what the apostles did, but if you read it through the lens of what the Holy Spirit did, it really opens our eyes a little bit more. It's just not just about great men. This is about great men empowered by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, when you're reading Acts, just keep reading the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's there all the time. But the verse I want to focus on at this point is verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were, what's that word? Added to the number that day. So what were they added to? The church. Okay, so I want us to just get hold of a little bit of this. I'm sort of overplaying this a bit first because I want to get where we're going here. God says, I will build my church. 3,000 were baptized and added to the church. Were they added to Birtley Community Church? Were they added to the Methodist Church? They were added to his church. So what should his church look like? It's the sort of questions that I want us to grapple with today. And I just want to touch on a few things about that. So I'm going to get you to do some work. I did promise you I was going to get you to do some work. Because I want you to think about Birtley Community Church. And I said last night, you know, this is not about finding out how bad Birtley Community Church is. Because, I mean, I said to you, we loved being with you on Thursday night and seeing what is going on in the church. It is about looking and saying, what are we doing that's good? What could be better? What are we doing that we're not quite getting right? It's looking at those sort of things. And are we a balanced church? And I will talk a bit more about that in a minute as well. I'm going to get Dale, Kevin, if you can just help me out and give some of these out. You're going to need a pen or a pencil if you want to do this. Nobody's going to look at what you write or what you do. You'll all need one of these each. And there's plenty of them. Yeah, there's some more here. Everybody got a paper and everybody got something to write with? What are you short of, Lee? A pen. I saw some pencils here. I bet they're not charged. I bet it's a classic mistake I always make. I bring a box of pencils and don't sharpen them. Was I right? Yeah, same mistake every time. You can write whatever you like on the paper. I am going to tell you some things I want you to write on the paper, but you can write what you like as well. Yeah, you can. No, it's your piece of paper. You can keep it. My gift for the weekend. Okay. Well, we've got everybody back. We'll sorted. Very good. Okay. The first thing I want you to do, it's going to be some honest assessment for you here. On your triangle that you've got there, you've already got three words on the sides, and we'll come to them in a minute. But on the three sides, I want you to write three words for me. It doesn't matter which, where in the triangle. As long as they're on three sides, it doesn't matter. I want you to write the word separate on one side. Okay, separate. I want you to write consumer on one of the other sides. And then I want you to write the word giver on one of the other sides. Giver. So separate on one side. Any side, just pick a side and put separate. Consumer and giver. Okay? So you should have a triangle now, hopefully, that's got the words on that I've got, and you've got your word separate, giver, consumer, somewhere around that triangle, okay? What I want you to do is be, just think for a minute about yourself and be very honest. When you look and you, if you were to dissect those three words, giver, consumer, separate, so by separate I mean like the old, where we're just all about God, we're not about anything else, it's just all about God. If you were to try and put a dot that sort of says, where am I in my balance of those things, where would your dot be? Would your dot be up towards consumer, but maybe a bit towards God? Or would it be, you know, which part of the triangle would it end up in? Would it be nice and central in the middle? Or would you lever towards and think, I tend to come to church with a bit of a consumer attitude. I'm looking for what I'm going to get out of this. Or do you come to church more often with a, what can I bring? Or do you come to church solely, forget everybody else, doesn't matter what anybody's going through this morning, my interest is, I want to get something from God this morning. I want to get closer to God. I'm just focused on that. Haven't got a clue what's going on elsewhere. Where would you put yourself? Just put a little dot that puts you somewhere where you think personally you are. And be honest. Just think about your conversations after church around the dinner table. What's your first conversation? Is it, I didn't enjoy the sermon this morning. Worship was too loud this morning. They're often signs that you're in a consumerist mode rather than, you know. So just, has anybody sort of been able to just get some idea of where you think you might be? Because I'm hoping that out of this weekend at least, if you look at it and think, I'm probably not quite where I need to be in all of that by the end of the weekend, I'm hoping that we'll be able to say, do you know what, I'm going to move that dot. I'm going to start moving that dot back to where it should be. Now, I know, I'm not going to preach heresy here. I know when we come on a Sunday morning, the main focus should be God. And I'm not taking anything away from that. But if, you know, we are so in the heavens that we are not noticing somebody's hurting in the corner, actually, we're missing something. If we are so, you know, focused on whether things are right for us, that we can't worship because we're put off by the noisy worship, there's something wrong. So it's not just about, well, it's all about God, isn't it? It is all about God. But if we're getting anything else out of balance, it's going to affect how we do approach God. Can we see that? Can you see what I'm getting at here? And that's where we can let stupid things stop us from getting the best of God, because we're coming in the wrong attitude. We're coming in a consumer attitude. We're coming in a, what if we come with a giving attitude but wanting to be so close to God, but we want to give to help Russell get closer to God. Isn't that much better than coming and thinking, what's Russell going to do this morning so I can get closer to God? It's that sort of thinking that I want to challenge this morning. Now, do you know what? Birtley Community Church might not have a problem with that. It's probably the only church in the world that doesn't have a problem with that, but it might not have a problem with that. You might not have a problem with that, but at least ask an honest question in yourself. What sort of churchgoer have I been to date? On the main, what am I like? And I want to tell you, I can sometimes sit in meetings and think, I'm getting nothing out of this. And then I have to stop and think, why? Why am I getting nothing out of this? Is it all Patrick's fault? Okay. So that's one aspect. The main thing of this triangle, though, is I want us to think about a few things to do with the church and to do with you personally. So I'm going to get you to go into three groups, and I'm going to ask Dale and Kevin and Elaine to be in one of each of those three groups, so they can just help you. Just want to say to you three guys, you're not there to do all the talking, Dale. You're not there to give them all the answers. You're there to just help them, okay? And at some point this morning, if we have time, I might as well, because I think it's good. I loved finding out a lot more about your church on Thursday night, and I want to give you, at some point in this morning as well, if we have time, a chance in the groups then to ask them a little bit about Hexham Community Church. Find out all you can about them and Hexham Community Church, because I think it helps us to hear about other churches as well. So that's another reason I wanted to bring them here this morning as well. But first of all, I want you to go into three groups. Doesn't matter who's in what group. So we'll get Jill around, and then I'll tell you what I want you to do with your triangles. Is that all right? So it's a moving church this morning. Elaine, you couldn't quickly grab me a glass of water, could you? Glass of water. Elaine will get it for me, thank you. Just grab me a glass of water. I don't think the fire's helping drive me. Thank you, Linda. Okay. In a minute, we're going to look at some points that I have to say, not my points, the Kevin's points, and he's preaching on these in Hexham tomorrow morning. And it's from a message that he preached while we were out in Poland recently. And I said, really want you to preach that at Hexham. But rather than do the message this morning, we're going to keep in the mode of we are, and we're going to get you to do an exercise that thinks about that message. But it's all about marks of a biblical church, as taken predominantly from Acts, but looking at what should a biblical church look like. And some of that then we're going to relate to the what we've just touched there is love God, love others, and see where we think those aspects fit. But I just want to touch a little bit on what we've done so far. As I said, there's no right and wrong answers. And there's no right and wrong way of approaching it. It's just about getting you thinking where you're at, always thinking where you're at. So for me, if I was looking at that, I would look at things like, well, you know, we've got good worship in the church. For me, that's about God. It's about loving God. It's not about reaching out to others. It is a little bit about creating community. Somebody mentioned about the tea and coffee before or after the church. We have both. We're greedy. But again, it's more, for me, that's more about building family. It's about, you know, it's not about getting to know God. It's about getting to know each other. I think things like reading the word personally and the teaching that we have is about, you know, God. The sort of stuff that you were doing in terms of touching your community is clearly about being out there and reaching the world. I think being discipled well, and we're going to talk about that in tonight's session, is part of that getting, you know, to deeper with God. The important thing is that we're not, you know, we keep both balanced individually and balanced as a church. And if you have small groups, your small groups should be balanced in those areas as well. If you are all about love God and love the church, and you're very heavily over that side, what you will find as a church is when people come in, they find it very hard to feel part of you and to engage with you. If you are very heavily loving God, love others, love God, love others, you know, you will be quite well, you'll get on quite well for a while, but you'll lose that sense of family. You'll be all about the lost, and you'll be forgetting what about you've already got. So keeping that balance is very, very important, actually. You know, for years, churches have talked about closing the back door of the church. You know, those of you who've been around a long time know that phrase, that we seem as though we get people in and then we lose them out the back. The reason is because we get this wrong. Because people come in and they think, well, you've got me now, but now you're not interested in me. You're only interested in the next one that you're going to win. So we've got to get these balances right. And if we don't get enough of the loving God, you know, if we're all about community and reaching out, but we are not teaching our people to push into God, they'll be like the seed that just grows well at first and just withers. You'll suddenly think, what happened to them? They were going so well. They were out reaching the lost. They seemed to be our best evangelist. But we lost them. Why? Because their depth is missing. Because they're not rooted into the scriptures. And you know what happens then? They get out in the world. They go out to reach the world. They touch the world's culture. And rather than them being able to influence the culture by the knowledge of the scriptures and by what they know of God, the culture starts to impact them. And you've lost them. And I've seen it so many times. One of the big mistakes I think churches make, and we still make it today, I think we're learning a bit, but we still do it. We get somebody who is saved dramatically, and they've come from a really bad past, or they've come out of prison and got saved, or they've come off massive drugs. There's something dramatic about them getting saved, and we suddenly put them on a platform. And we have them going around preaching and speaking and sharing before they're ready, before they've got any depth to them, and we burn them out, and then we think, what happened to them? Balance of church is more important than you will ever realize. I think, you know, particularly the leaders in the church here, get hold of this. It needs to be one of the top of your list in terms of your discussions as leaders, constantly saying, how are we doing? How are we doing? If you don't know how your congregation is spiritually, if you don't know the temperature of your congregation spiritually, you'll do well for a while, and then you'll think, the wheels are coming off. You've got to, and you as a church, I want to encourage you, that when your leaders are trying to find out where you're at spiritually what your spiritual temperature is, do not feel threatened by that. Be encouraged by that, because that's what they're there for. Your leaders are there to care for you, to make sure that you are spiritually growing, that there's depth to what you have in your spiritual walk. And when they're coming, they're wanting to find out how you're doing through discipleship or whatever it is. It's not because they want to control you. It's because that's the job God's given them to do. And if they don't do it, they'll answer for it. One of the things I'm always conscious of as a church leader is, you know, that if you read Ezekiel that goes on about the watchmen and the bad shepherds, and how God says he'll deal with the bad shepherds. And then when I'm working with people and they're upset because I'm wanting to know how they're doing spiritually, I think, I've got a responsibility here. And you can help your leaders by allowing them to do that and actually be vulnerable with them and be honest and say, do you know what, I'm struggling spiritually. Will you help me? That's how life should be in church. My encouragement is don't get too imbalanced in any of these. Keep your balance right. And I love, absolutely love your outreach. I love all your community work that you're doing. In all of that, do not neglect your own spiritual walk, and do not neglect the depth of your church, or you'll get in trouble. But you keep the balance right, and there's no reason why you won't grow and grow and grow and grow. Because a good, healthy, balanced church has got to grow. It's just got to. It's like, you know, you create any. Patrick will know this more than me. You, in science, whatever you do, if you create the perfect conditions, you're going to get the perfect result. So if you create the perfect conditions for your church to grow, it will grow. But get it out of balance and you're going to hit some problems. Might not come off, the wheels might not come off completely, but you might not get on it. This exercise, really. I'm going to give you another little exercise now. And then I might ask Kevin at the end if he just wants to come up and just highlight one or two of the points that he would have noticed. I'm going to put up on the board. I've got the wrong mic. Oh. Is the other one the one for the recording?
Yeah. It won't be much to record.
Linda, could you just move a slide for me at a time? I'm going to list some aspects of biblical church. And what I want you to do is, as a group, have a look at these. They're in no set order, because there isn't a set order. But I want you to pretend in your group that there's a right order. So I want you to have a little discussion first about, well, if I was putting these in order of importance, what would it be? Remember, there isn't a right answer, so if one thinks something different, I want you to agree in an arbitrary way a level of priority. And I can keep flicking this. You should say, can you put the other slide up, because I think there's two or three slides. So we've got, you can write them down as we go if you want, so as you remember them, but I'll keep flicking it. A biblical church respects the authority of the scripture, looks forward to the return of Christ, has pastoral care and covers all legitimate needs. Now listen to the word in there. It's warm and friendly. It's a place where people work out their faith in kingdom living in the real world. Relationships go beyond just seeing each other at meetings. And then the next slide. Makes room for the Holy Spirit. A biblical church takes Matthew 28:18 seriously, and it honours and lifts up Jesus. So don't go to the next one yet, because that will give too much away. Do you need to go to the first one again just to get the list? Okay, go back one, and if you want to write them down, it'll be easier for you. And just give me a nod when you've got them all. I think we've got till 1 o'clock in this session, so. Yeah, take a piece of paper, you need a piece of paper. Everybody got those ones? No? As long as at least one person in the group's got them all, you're all right. Okay, somebody, at least one in each group got all of them. Yep, you got all of them ones now. Flick to, oh, nope. No, this is, yeah, if it was an ideal church, what do you think the priority would be of that list? Not that there is one, but let's just pretend there is. It's probably, yeah, leave it at that. It's probably all got them. I think at least somebody in each group's got them all. Okay, and then the last three, makes room for the Holy Spirit. Takes Matthew 28:18. What's Matthew 28:18? It's Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. Yep. And then honors and lifts of Jesus. Okay, so I'm going to give you 10 minutes to debate between yourselves. If you're putting them in order, what order would you put them in? Yeah, that's great.